Just want to share a few thoughts with you tonight, and I want to begin by reading the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. You know, long before the baby Jesus was born, God prophesied that a king would be born in Bethlehem. And Caesar Augustus had no idea that he was setting God's plans in motion when he issued this decree for a census to be taken. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That always gets to me a little bit. Mary and Joseph arrive in Bethlehem, confident that the Heavenly Father was going to take care of all the plans, was going to take care of everything down to the last detail. And yet there's no room for them in the inn, no place for them to stay. And I wonder if they were tempted to doubt God and doubt God's promises. Surely he had made arrangements for Jesus to be born in some respectable place. You know, sometimes things don't always fall together the way that you think they're going to fall together. We doubt God, but God always provides, not always the way that we are anticipating that he will, but we can trust him no matter how things seem. Well, that night there were some shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of God's glory surrounded them. They were terrified by what they had seen, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," said the angel. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy for all people." I guess you'd be included in that, right? All people. "The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of other angels, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby, lying in a manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story, they were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. This is what we celebrate tonight. This is the story of Christmas. This is how it originated. This is what it's all about. I know that you're used to seeing the Peanuts cartoon, where Linus gives his little speech about from Luke chapter 2. But I also found a comic strip, Peanuts comic strip. In this comic strip, there's Linus only and Charlie Brown. And Linus turns in a Bible to Luke, and he finds a place in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. And he reads pretty much what I just read. And after he reads it, in the next to last cell of this comic strip, Linus says, "Like I said before, that is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." And Charlie Brown says, "You're right." In the very last cell of that strip, Linus says, "So who needs Santa Claus?" Indeed, the Almighty God, the Creator of all things, seen and unseen, took on human flesh. That's what Christmas is. He comes as a baby, born not in a mansion, placed in a bed with satin sheets, but born in a stable, his crib a manger. A shunned, disgraced teenage mother gives birth to him. A carpenter with calloused hands and dirt under his fingernails, probably the first one to carry him, to hold him. His birth is announced not to priests and kings, but to lowly shepherds. These were ordinary men who stood at the bottom of the rung of the Palestinian social ladder. Those are his first visitors. And yet, his birth is announced by angels. "I bring you great news, great joy for all people. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord has come, the one that has been promised. He's born today in Bethlehem. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." I want you to notice that the angels did not promise peace on earth, but peace to those on earth with whom God is pleased. And what pleases God? Our faith. So pleases God. Especially, God wants us to believe in the one that he has sent. Why? Because he gives life. Jesus the Messiah came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Baby came to give his life, to sacrifice for our sins, that we could be forgiven, we can enter into a relationship with God, and we could be transformed, our lives can be changed, to know God and have eternal life. God spoke through the Old Testament prophets, promising a Savior. And the angels announced that this Jesus, this baby, he is the one that the prophets told about. God in the flesh. Billy Graham tells a story that during World War II, many a mother would take their son and sit them down and talk to them about their father, try to keep their memory going about their father who was away fighting at war. They wanted them to remember their father, and so the mother would talk to the boy about their fathers. And there was one mother who took her son every day into the bedroom, and she would show him this large portrait that she had of his father, who was so far away now. And one day the little boy said to his mother, "Mom, wouldn't it be great if Dad could just step out of the frame?" That's what happened on that first Christmas night. For centuries, people looked into the heavens, looking for what God had promised, waiting for God to step out of the frame. And in Bethlehem, that's exactly what God did. As incredible as it sounds, as unbelievable as it sounds, especially to modern man and woman, The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is a visitor from heaven itself. God incarnate. His name is Jesus. It means the Lord is my Savior, or the Lord is salvation. He would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Three simple words that sum up Christmas. God with us. We have hope. We have strength. We have help. We have peace, because He is God who has come and He is with us. He has been called Wonderful Counselor because He knows all things. He has been called Mighty God because He's all powerful. He's been called the Everlasting Father, for He is an all-loving Deliverer and Helper. He's called Prince of Peace or Wholeness. He's called Light and Life and Love. He is full of truth and grace. He is full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And He says to us, you must be born again. Born spiritually. You need to have a spiritual quickening. And you can be born again by believing in Me. Transformed. A new person. Paul wrote this: anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Quite a while ago, Vinny Branciforti came to me and he said, have you ever heard of or read the book Unbroken? I said, no, haven't heard of it. Certainly haven't read it. He said, I just finished reading this book. You've got to read it. I said, okay, thank you. Following Sunday, Vinny comes with the book. And he hands me the book. And my first thought was, great, just what I need, another book to read. I'm already reading two or three. And then he said, and I want the book back when you're done, which made me feel like, well, I better get this thing read and get it back to him. So I started to read the book, and I couldn't put it down. It was great. Great book. It's a story about Louis Zamborini. He was an Olympic runner, ran in the Olympics, I think it was in 1936. And then, as all the athletes at that time did, he had to kind of take a break from that. And he joined the Navy and became a Navy pilot during World War II. His plane was shot down by the Japanese, but he survived the plane crash. And then he was in a raft for like 47 days on a raft. And when he was finally rescued, as he said himself, he had good news and bad news. The good news was he was going to be rescued. The bad news was he was being rescued by the enemy. It was the Japanese who found them and took them to a camp. And they became, Louis became a POW in a concentration camp or in a camp. And there he was tortured, and he developed this deep hatred, particularly for the commander of that POW camp. There's a movie by the same name that's going to be coming out tomorrow called Unbroken. You probably have heard of it. It's been directed by Angelina Jolie. Is that how you say her name? Unfortunately, from what I've heard, she doesn't end the movie the same way that the book ends. And that's very unfortunate. She just ends it with Louis coming home at the end of the war. But I think that the best part of the story is how the book ends. Because what the movie leaves out, so I'm told, is that after the war was over, Louis comes home suffering from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, which led to him being this hopeless alcoholic and a bitter man, filled with bitterness still for those guards and the way they treated him, particularly that commander of that post prisoner of war camp. He was so angry and so bitter that he was determined to save his money, go to Japan after the war, find this commander, and murder him. That was his plan. Louis's marriage was also failing as well. And his wife was having a difficult time in that marriage. But then one night, his wife went to a Billy Graham crusade. And at that time, Billy Graham would do these like week-long crusades, maybe longer, I don't know. And when she went to that crusade that night, she accepted Christ. And she came back and she asked Louis if he would go with her the next night, and he refused. He didn't want to go. But at some point, she finally got him to go, and he went to the crusade, promising her that he was not going to return after that night. And he didn't accept Christ, but he went with her to that crusade. But he gave in, and he went back a second time. And the second night that he went back, that particular night, Billy Graham brought up to the audience how so often we make promises to God and then never keep them. And that struck a chord with Louis, because he remembered being on that raft. And when he was on that raft, he prayed, "If you get us out of this, I will dedicate my whole life to you." That was the promise he made. But he never kept it. He never kept that promise. And so that night, at that Billy Graham crusade, Louis went up front. And he gave his life to Christ. And he made good on that promise to dedicate his life to Jesus. He was delivered of his PTSD. He was delivered from alcohol. Now he still saved his money, and got to go to Japan. And he searched for that ruthless commander. Only this time, it wasn't to murder him, but it was to tell him that with the help of God, I forgive you. Unfortunately, he was never able to find that commander, but he was able to share the gospel with many other Japanese men that had been guards at that camp. And this is only one of millions of stories, of testimonies, of the power of Christ to change our lives. He changed a young teenage girl. He changed a strong, proud carpenter. He changed some ordinary shepherds. He changed the old and the young, the rich and the poor, the educated and the not educated. Uneducated. He transformed Pharisees and tax collectors. He changed hard-working fishermen and thieves, prostitutes, and people possessed by demons. He has delivered people who suffer from all kinds of addictions and people who have no addictions at all. Good guys he has changed, and bad guys he has changed. He has even changed me. He came for all people, to bring joy to all people. And this is the reason for the season. This is the reason that we celebrate. Jesus, the Son of God, became human so that humans could become children of God. God comes from heaven to earth, so that people of earth can go to heaven. Jesus, the Savior, gives his life and dies so that we don't have to die, but that we can have life. The heavens opened up and delivered the greatest gift ever, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Have you ever made a promise to God that you never kept? God keeps his promises. He is faithful. And tonight, perhaps, he gives you another opportunity to make good on that promise. dedicate your life to Him. You'll never be sorry. Forgive others. And reveal His heart to those around you. Not just this Christmas time, all year through. The Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Let's pray together. I just want to close in prayer before you leave tonight. If you don't mind, would you please stand with me? Thank you. Lord, it's so difficult for us to understand a God who would leave heaven and become human for the purpose of being a sacrifice for those who had turned their backs on Him. We're so thankful that You're that kind of God. God of unfailing love, unconditional love. A love that's so deep, that's so hard for us to grasp. And we love You. We love You for what You have done for us. We love You only because You first loved us. And we are grateful, Lord, to be together tonight to celebrate this greatest miracle ever. That God became flesh and lived for a while among us. And I pray, Lord, that as we celebrate family and friends, that, Lord, we wouldn't forget to take some time and think about the whole meaning of this Christmas season. And, Lord, as some of us would find this Christmas difficult this year because of some losses in our life. Maybe still stop and think of the hope that You give to us, even in the midst of our troubles. Lord, I pray Your blessing on everyone that is here, every family that is represented, and all those who couldn't come tonight as well as they're visiting. Lord, bless them, I pray, with Your presence. I wonder if we could just close the service by singing Silent Night, just the first verse of Silent Night together. Let's do that, okay?
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Oh, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Have a great night and great tomorrow, and hopefully we'll see you Sunday. God bless. Greet someone, greet each other before you leave. Yeah.